We've been working through this Advent season, which is the four Sundays leading up to Christmas. And we've been using the theme of good news, the theme that is actually uniting many of the congregations in the Church of God are using the materials, as are we, for sermons and Advent readings. And it's kind of neat. It brings a sense of unity. Even this week I had heard that a few of the men had gathered around the coffee table to have some fellowship, and they talk about the sermon, but one had not been here last week, yet he was at a different Church of God congregation and heard the same message and was able to resonate still. And so it's a bit of a unifying time as we follow along the theme of Advent, the time of preparation for Jesus coming. We unite with the other churches who celebrate this in our movement. Now, as you see on our wall here, we have a number of our posters. We have the hope, peace, and joy, and love. And so these are not always done in the same order. And so this week we've come, as you've probably deduced by now, and we are at the fourth Sunday, the candle of peace. And so we're talking about peace and Jesus as our peace. Now, when you hear the word peace, what comes to mind? It might be, you know, a song, "Let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me." Or maybe "Sleep in heavenly peace," like "Silent Night." Maybe you've ventured out or were required in college to read Leo Tolstoy's War and Peace, a classic book that is quite formidable. Maybe you think about the tombstones, the rest in peace, R.I.P. You know, that's often on the tombstone. Or if you have children, young children, maybe you just wish for some peace and quiet. That's sometimes the kind of peace you might be hoping for. Maybe you think about hippies. Maybe you're around for that, or some movies or something that have depicted that kind of a movement. There's a lot of different things that come when we say peace. even if you look at photos on the internet, depending on sometimes cultures, there's a lot of times that they're like making a peace sign as they take selfies. so there's lots of different ideas that can come. But what about words like wholeness or oneness or unity, completion? These are some of the words that we maybe don't think of so much when we hear the term peace, but yet they're part of the term peace in the Bible. In the Old Testament, they used the word shalom, and in the New, irene. And so when we're actually going to look at a passage in Ephesians that Paul wrote, and he was circulating the letter among congregations in the first century. Paul was the apostle who was sent out after persecuting Christians, had come to know Jesus in a very radical way, and began to be the first and like really main missionary that went all over and preached the good news about Jesus to the people who were not Jewish. And he traveled all over the known world doing that. But he wrote to the church in Ephesus, which was one of the cities. And so we have it in our Bible, and it's called the Letter to the Ephesians. And so we think that this letter was circulated, not only for that church, but that other churches would have read that as well. So Paul was trying to disciple a number of congregations, trying to help them become disciples of Jesus, because they didn't have any experience. They had the people that Paul had preached to, they'd never met Jesus, and so they were only going by what Paul had told them about Jesus. And so Paul would write letters because he would plant a church in one place and they would have some foundation, and then he would move on to another place to plant another church, and then sometimes hear about what was happening in that other one he planted and say, "Oh, I got to give some more instruction there, because they've kind of run along to the end of the instructions and then they don't know what to do next." Or maybe they just got kind of lost or weren't quite sure how to handle certain situations. And so Paul wrote to the Ephesians kind of as their spiritual father to give them some advice and help them understand more about who Jesus is and was and what it means. So he brings an understanding of the impact of Jesus Christ And he addresses what that should look like. What kind of influence should that have on the way that we look at the word peace, on the way that we look at others, on the way that we live our lives, the way that we interpret things that are going on around us. Paul speaks to peace. We long for peace. We have that longing in our soul, and we need those moments. Sometimes peace might be those moments of stillness, of quietness, that we allow to sort of penetrate our soul and help us to get centered and to reflect on the important things. We think of maybe words like harmony or tranquility. I know that I've heard that the sound of running water is supposed to be soothing or therapeutic. And I guess ideally you would find yourself in a place where that is happening naturally. That means you're away from your regular stuff and maybe out in nature near a bubbling brook or something, or you're hiking through that valley in Camrose, or maybe down at by the lake park or something. But we do have fountains as well. People will have fountains in their houses sometimes with that running water sound. It may just make you need to use the washroom, though. It may not be that tranquil for you. It depends kind of on how you're made. But when we are in nature and we experience that tranquility, there's often a sense of oneness with God. But Christian peace has always been something independent of outward circumstances. Now let me mention that again. Christian peace has been something independent of outward circumstances. It's not dependent upon the surrounding situations. Now, it's great when we do have that, when things are calm. You know, actually, when you think of the Christmas carols, you're like, whoever wrote those were like major optimists, right? We love singing Silent Night. Do you really believe the night was silent with a newborn? You know, little town of Bethlehem, how still we... Do you really think it was that quiet? You know, we like to think of it as peaceful. We would love to have peaceful situations, but the reality is our lives are often filled with chaos and noise. But part of the good news is that for the Christian, for those who follow Jesus, there is a peace available for everybody. It's available if you, in Jesus Christ, that you can have peace that is not dependent upon your outward circumstances. And so, one of the things that I want to read is from Ephesians 2. We're going to be looking at Ephesians 2. And this is verse 15 and 17 and 18. It says, meaning Jesus, he has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new humanity, in place of the two, thus making peace. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off and to those who are near. For through him, both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. So what is peace? This concept in the New Testament and in the Bible, I mentioned the word Irene, the Greek term. And actually, the name Irene, I don't know if you know anybody named Irene, but that's sort of a derivative of the word peace, the Greek word for peace. And so Paul actually uses two words here, not just Irene, but he also connects it with another word called Lego, just like the little things you step on and, you know, in your house, like you used to use for building blocks. But in Greek, the word Lego has a different meaning. It does mean to lay or arrange or to gather together and join into one from small pieces. So in a translation, sometimes it means like to speak, and it has that implication of like putting words together in sentences. And so Paul puts peace like Irene and Lego together and joins them together. And the term means... Well, it has a sense of unity to it, to become one out of that which was separated. And so the word peace in the New Testament it's not just the absence of war. That's often what we think of war or peace. But peace in the Bible often has a sense of completeness, of wholeness, which comes when there's no war, but that's, it is not just the absence of conflict. And so we need to understand that it's a bigger, it's a broader term than that. Not just the absence of conflict, but a sense of completeness or wholeness. And so as we read even in the scriptures and we read about peace, we need to think about this wholeness and completeness. It's not just the absence of a negative, but the presence of something positive, of bringing wholeness and fulfillment. So when I think of an example, I think of in our body. You know, if your body is fighting itself, you have a dis-ease, you are not united, you are not at peace with yourself. You know, when everything is working together and the body is fulfilling all of its functions, you are more productive, you feel better, you have a sense of peace. As soon as a body part stops doing what it's supposed to do, then the rest of the body is trying to accommodate that. Even, actually, I've learned a bit about this with my celiac disease, that it's not just like I'm allergic and I have a reaction to gluten, but actually what it does is it causes my body to attack itself. And so it creates something in my body that then says, oh, that's a foreign invader, attack. And so then it does damage to myself if I eat that gluten. So while I do love cinnamon buns, it means that I am not at peace if I have one. So when we think of peace, we want to think of wholeness, of completeness, of a fulfillment, that we work together as one. Peace is also part of God's perfect plan. It says in Ephesians 2 in verse 14, "For he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is the hostility between us." And so, you know, before Jesus came, there was sort of the Jews who were God's quote-unquote chosen people, and then there were the Gentiles, and they were not to mix. Actually, as I was doing some research into this, some commentators believe that Paul was recalling one of the incidents where he was accused in the book of Acts of bringing Gentiles into the temple. See, in the temple in Jerusalem, there was an outer court where the Gentiles were allowed. They're like, it was like, if you were not Jewish, it's like, you can come into the foyer, and we might let you use the washroom, but don't you dare come in here. This is only for the Jewish people. And so at one point, people were accusing Paul of bringing non-Jewish people into the special part of the temple. And so he got in real trouble, got thrown in jail. And what Paul is writing here is, no, with Jesus Christ, when Jesus died, that barrier was done away with. There are no longer Jews and Gentiles. There's a new creation. There's a new, almost like a new race, a new standard of Christian that both Jew and Gentile can be a part of, because we're under Christ. Jesus Christ is our peace. And so when it says he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is the hostility between us. So between those groups, Jews and Gentiles, he's broken that down. So there's no longer a gap between who gets access to God and who doesn't. That's the other barrier that he's removed. That all people, through Jesus Christ, can have access to God. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." But the converse to that is that everybody can come to the Father through him. And so Jesus Christ is our peace, and he has made a way for us to have peace by breaking down the dividing wall. We are called to be one family with God. We share the same need. We are one in need. It says in Isaiah, "All we like sheep have gone astray." So part of the wall that divides us is the division that one person or group needs salvation and another doesn't. Or that one group of people might need it more than we do. The reality is we all are in need. We're equal in our need for Christ. And so we each need to share that Jesus brings salvation. That's what we're celebrating here at Christmas. And we become one through God's salvation in Jesus. In Ephesians 4, verse 3, Paul makes this plea: make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace and the bond of wholeness, of completeness, of oneness in peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father above all and through all and in all. And so Paul is very clear that we are one in Christ, that everyone has the same need to find that hope and peace and salvation in Jesus Christ. And as we find that in Him, we are united together. Peace is God's plan for humanity. Peace comes to us with the knowledge that God is in control and we don't have to be. That God knows better than we do, and that God loves us and our families and the world more than we ever can. So much that He became a human and died so we could have life. Peace is not getting rid of something, it's accepting someone as the king of our lives. It is not that we are devoid of negative circumstance. It's not that we don't have negative situations, but that no matter what's going on around us, whether it's culturally or politically or physically or emotionally, we can have peace in the presence of God. That God has a perfect plan for us and that it includes His peace. Now, there was once there's a story of a competition of artists that were invited to paint the perfect picture that would depict peace. And there was lots of paintings that were submitted, and finally the judges narrowed the choices to the last three. And they announced their decisions and sort of unveiled them as they announced the finalists, you know, third place and second and first. And so the first place painting, though, was not one of just a calm water, or I think of, I don't know if it's still on the money, but I think of Moraine Lake, you know, or Lake Louise kind of up there, when that water is just emerald and calm, if you've ever seen that in the summer. Like that's, you paint that, that's quite peaceful. But actually, the winner was a painting that depicted a bird in the nest out on the branch. But surrounding it was darkness and clouds, and it was right in the midst of the mist of a waterfall. And so there was this tumult at the bottom, and so you could see the foam and the spray, and you could like almost feel the getting wet because the painting was so real. But seeing this bird sitting on her eggs in the nest was what won as the depiction of peace. So it wasn't the absence of turmoil or the absence of tumult and conflict. It was actually a peace in the midst of the storm. Peace is not an understanding that the world is all right. The world is not all right. I don't have to spend much time arguing to convince you of that. Jesus' word said, in this world you will have trouble. That is one of my core Bible verses because nobody will disagree with it. I don't care if you don't believe the Bible. I don't care if you don't believe anything about Jesus. He said, in this world you will have trouble, and I've never found anybody to disagree with that. And He also goes on to promise His own peace. My peace I give to you. It's one of the things that Jesus offers. That even though we go through trials, even though we go through suffering, that we can lean on God. That the world is in God's hands. That I am in God's hands. And God loves me and God loves this world more than I ever could. Through Jesus Christ, the world can be made one. And so I can find peace by releasing my need to control everything and leave it to God, his wiser wisdom and his stronger strength and his greater love. Peace also comes through the presence of Christ. Again, in that Ephesians passage in verse 14, for he is our peace. In his flesh, he has made both groups into one. You shall bear a son, it was said to Mary. The angel said to Mary, you shall bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. Sin is separation. It is division. It is one of those walls that have separated us from each other and from God. It's the lack of unity with God and with our brother or our sister. But the universal reconciliation is available through Christ, and only through Christ. Christ is our peace. That's what Paul says. He is our peace. We may look elsewhere. We sometimes look at financial security. If I had enough money, if I had enough of this saved up, if I could only get to this level, I could have peace. If I could only move away from this trouble, if I could only get out of this place, I could have peace. But peace, remember, is not an absence of conflict, but a confidence in the one who controls the heavens and the earth and who came to earth to make us whole. Peace is Christ with us, Christ within us, even in the midst of that trial. Martin Luther King Jr. said, peace is not the absence of tension, but the presence of justice. Justice only comes from God inhabiting our lives and our world. Whether Jew or Gentile, or rich or poor, or male nor female, slave nor free, God's perfect plan for all God's creation is peace. It breaks down every wall that divides us, and it makes us one, no matter what differences we have. Jesus' salvation is the presence of God with us. Emmanuel, we've talked about that before too. The name of Jesus we hear and sometimes even sing about at Christmas, Emmanuel. God with us. And so the unity that we have is not from our similarities, not from agreeing on everything, but in our Christianity. We don't always have the same doctrine. We don't always have the same denomination or the same ideas, but through his flesh, it says, his flesh has made us one. Through Jesus' sacrifice, if we believe that he paid the price for our sins, it is Christ who makes us one, who breaks down every wall and brings us peace. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who are far off and peace to those who are near. For through him, through Jesus, both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. And then in Luke chapter 2, it says, I bring you good news that will cause you great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace, wholeness, completeness, fullness, peace to those on whom his favor rests. The good news is peace. Peace which was brought by the presence of Jesus, that anyone now can have access to the Father through Jesus Christ. Mother Teresa said, if we have no peace, it is because we have forgotten that we belong to each other. We are one, not because of anything we did or anything we are, but because of what Christ is and what Christ has done. Peace is the fulfillment of the promise of good news. This promise is that the presence of Christ in our lives brings oneness. It brings wholeness and unity because of God's love for each of us. And so this week we celebrate the birth of Jesus. I want to offer you the opportunity to receive this gift of peace. If you're tired of the chaos and confusion, take his peace. Receive it. If you are weary of trying to put these awkward pieces of your life back together, take his peace. If you feel at war with yourself and with others, take his peace. Rest in the salvation of the one who God sent to bring you peace, Jesus. He does not promise to work everything out to your liking. I do have to say that. This does not mean that everything will get smooth. It doesn't mean that everything in life gets easier, or that you won't have any storms or trials or tests or problems or tragedies. He doesn't always take away the noise and the clatter or make you rich or famous or put gifts under your Christmas tree. But he did come to bring peace. And you can know his peace inside your heart and inside your mind. It does sometimes take some work. Take some work. Not that you earn it, but that you bring these things to Jesus. What are the things that are causing your trials? What are the things that are causing the doubts or the turbulence in your mind or in your heart? Bring those things to Christ. Tell them. Confess them. Ask him to remove them. Ask him to heal you. Ask him to do something. Ask him for his peace. You may just find that in the midst of your trial or in the midst of the chaos, that Christ is able to give you a peace in your heart and in your mind that passes all understanding. It's not a human peace. It's not a normal sense of calmness or fullness or wholeness. But there's a sense of, in the midst of the trial, you're okay. Even though you don't know the outcome, you're okay. Because you are in the palm of his hand. I have to say that as Leslie and I went through that a few years ago with Penelope, and we had a premature baby born at 23 weeks, and we spent 10 or 12 days up there in the NICU. It was so challenging, and we appreciated all the support and love from our church family. And even afterwards, the support. But I have to say, in that trial, and while I would not want to do that again, and I would not wish that on anybody, I have to say that we experienced God's peace in the midst of all of that, as hard as it was, that we had a sense that we were held in his hand. That, man, was that a storm. That was so hard. But we were reminded of God's presence through your love and care, through your prayers, through your support, words of encouragement. But just throughout it all, it was sad. It was hard. But there was this sense of calmness in the midst of the sadness and the difficulty, the sense of we don't know what's going to happen. Every day is a gift, and we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But man, there was a sense of peace in all of that. And it's only through Christ that you can go through whatever tragedy or divorce or trial or loss or grief. But I can tell you from my own experience, it is possible to find peace, to find some level of wholeness and completeness in the midst of your tragedy and trial. In Jesus Christ, he can give you that peace. He is our peace. I think of the old Christmas carol that stems from a poem by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. And two of the verses say, "And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, while peace on earth, goodwill to men." Friends, the good news is, no matter what you're going through, Christ offers his peace. This is good news. It is available to all, not just in this season, but all year round. We're just reminded that through the gift of Jesus Christ from God the Father, we have this peace available. And we celebrate that here this week. As we celebrate, I encourage you to remember that Jesus came to bring us peace. He breaks down the walls that divide us, that make us at war with ourselves and keep us from drawing near to God. And that peace comes as we are made one through Him. Jesus will bring unity and wholeness and fullness if we seek it in Him. The babe in a manger who grew to a man and gave his life for you and me. Amen.